ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Hey ABC AFL Daily listeners, Corbin and Ben here. We just finished recording this week's episode of AFL Monday. We chatted about the wildcard introduction in 2026, the seven new rules that we're going to see this year in the AFL season, Lachie Neale's off-season and the ramifications for the Brisbane Lions. And we asked you as well what you were mad about this Monday on our Mad Mondays with Murph. We'll be back in your podcast feed tomorrow with another episode of ABC AFL Daily. Don't forget, if you want us to answer your questions live next week, you can tune in to AFL Monday at 6:30 Australian Eastern Daylight Time on ABC Melbourne or through ABC Listen.
Green from the boundary line. An ambitious effort. He's kicked out from row G.
That left foot goalie kick from the pocket, I was just laughing in the middle of the ground. Like, you're watching one of the best to ever do it right in front of your eyes.
We love some criticism at the right time, and we understand that that'll come.
Hipwood trying to wrong step the man in front of him. He does so to Rampy on Eric Hipwood. That is wizardry. Kicks it from the boundary line.
On ABC Radio, Sport Digital, and ABC Listen, this is AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben.
That's right, AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben to start your week all season long. And here we are on February the 23rd, less than 2 weeks out from the start of the new AFL season. Welcome to those of you that are joining us for the first time. Welcome back to our OG audience who might have found us once upon a time out on ABC Sport Digital. Here we are on the Big Boy Channel tonight on 774 ABC Melbourne and every week throughout the season. My name's Corbin Middlemass. Ben Cameron's across the other side of the desk from me. A fast-paced look at all the hot-button issues in the footy landscape. Mark Murphy's coming up, the Carlton champion. And also, such is the nature of this show and the fact that we're here on 774 ABC Melbourne, your calls on 1300 222 774. First of all, Ben Cameron, good evening to you.
Good evening, Corbin. Great to be here. I'm looking forward to it right throughout Monday nights of the AFL season, picking everything apart. Now, you and I know that if we weren't here, we'd be doing this anyway. Yeah. We'd be talking about these topics, be it at the pub, the coffee shop, whatever it is, having these discussions. The good news is as well, is that we will get Mark Murphy, who's run out there over 300 times, captained one of the biggest clubs in the land, to run our theories by and discuss all of these topics with as well. So hopefully, like you said, it's a fast-paced look at all of the big issues in footy through a slightly different lens.
Fills a gap in the market. Not enough footy shows and discussion about what's going on in footy. So we thought, you know what, let's make sure that we bring one of those to
actually the 31st on a Monday night in footy season.
Yes, so 774 ABC Melbourne, here we are every Monday. 1300 222 774 is the talkback number.
Now, Corb, you went to a briefing last week. Your other job, you work for Fox Footy, calling all of the football action on Sundays. And you were at a briefing with the AFL, and you weren't a great student at school, were you? But you were certainly on this occasion asking the most questions of anyone. And you asked a question that had Greg Swan and Andrew Dillon unsure of the answer.
So the reason I asked is I was lucky enough to attend State of Origin, which I'm sure we'll jump into in just a moment, and what a success that was over in Perth. But I noticed they had on the big screen there, countdown to the opening bounce, and the clock obviously ticks down. But as we know, that's something that has changed over the off-season. There's no more opening bounce. Nowadays, it is a ball up, but it's still referred to as the opening bounce. So much terminology around the game refers to the centre bounce attendances, how teams have gone from centre bounce opportunities. So what do we call it? If we're not going to call it the opening bounce or the bounce to start the game, is it as simple as the ball up? Essentially, Greg Swan looked at me and said, I'm not quite sure. As to, we haven't got an official name yet. So we thought maybe we can help the AFL out then and come up with an official name for the opening or the beginning of an AFL game.
It's semantics, isn't it? But it is the kind of thing that the fans get bent out of shape about. Like, what are we going to call this? So 1300 222 774, if you wish to call up and give us your suggestion as to what on earth we should call the opening bounce now that it is no longer.
All right. We're about to, for people that are with us all the time, they'll know that we love to do a little bit of flesh it out, throw it out, and bring in all the topics that are kicking around, the hot-button issues that are going on in the footy landscape. So without any further ado, Ben, let's get into it. So for people that are with us for the first time. You'll be thinking, what on earth is flesh it out, throw it out, and the beat that plays in the background. Basically, the beat will play to signal to you that we're going to work our way through the topics, and Ben will simply tell you whether these issues are worth fleshing out or whether they're simply worth throwing out. And on we go. First of all, Ben, flesh it out, throw it out. The wild card introduced into the AFL landscape in 2026.
Flesh it out. So for the first time ever, we're essentially going to have a 10-team final series. So the top six immediately qualify. Seventh plays 10th. Eighth plays 9th. That's what we're going to get. Those are the wild card games. I know that you've been a long advocate of this, haven't you?
This is one of our pinned topics. Yeah, it feels like it comes up every single year.
It certainly is. So you're in favour of it. I'm not. I've felt like since we went to the top eight system in 1994, the McIntyre system, we already had the wildcard positions, which are fifth to eighth. And then if you want to win the flag, you've got to finish in the top four. Since we went to that system, 1994, we've had three teams win the flag from outside those positions, which is Adelaide in 98, the Bulldogs in 2016, and the Lions in 2024.
Yep.
So we just call them by a different name, but they are essentially the wildcard positions that we already have.
So what would be the problem then if very few teams upset the apple cart and win the premiership anyway? Why not just have two more bonus games in September of high-stakes footy, games that actually have critical meaning on them? So last year, for example, the lower seeds won 6 out of the 9 games anyway. It's not as if it totally reflects later positions, because often teams can cause upset, and what we get is two bonus finals. Instead of having 9 finals, you now have 11, and essentially you're saying it's not going to upset who wins the premiership anyway. So not to love?
Are they of critical meaning if they're not going to win the flag anyway, though?
Well, it's two more finals, so it's two more blockbuster games. We feel like we have so many meaningless games, and by having two extra spots means that those games in the season are live longer. And essentially gives us two more games where, you know, it's sudden death elimination, which is, you know, what people love at the business end of the season.
It already gets back to my point, though, that you're actually taking away from games later in the year. So Fremantle and the Western Bulldogs, round 24, we love that game. It was a virtual cutthroat final for both those sides. That wouldn't have been last year. The season is so long that we no longer have the same amount riding on home and away games that we once did.
Well, Fremantle ended up finishing top six. They earned the home final, which also would have given them the week off, whereas the Bulldogs would have found themselves in a wild card game.
Check.
Yeah, just checkmate. let us know if you want to join in as well. 1-300-222-774. The rule changes for 2026, there's 7 of them, fleshing them out or throwing them out.
Should we do this as a little babushka doll, maybe? We can run through each of them and decide whether we'll flesh them out or throw them out.
Centre bounce ball up with the ruckman changing or being told to stay behind the line. Flesh it out, throw it out.
I might throw that out. We can discuss it with Murph, though.
Yep, I like it. Last disposal out of bounds.
Flesh it out. This is the big one, isn't it? This is the one that's been bandied about for a long period of time and we've eventually arrived at. So let's be clear, it's not so much last touch as last disposal. So if I handball the ball, you stick in a hand to try and knock it down and it ricochets out of bounds, boundary thrown like we've had for forever and a day. But if it is at a clear disposal and it bounces out, then we will get a last touch, last disposal free kick between the arcs.
Yeah, one of the examples I was shown last week from State of Origin, which will be a free kick, by the way, is sort of what you're probably used to from association football or soccer, where basically if you're hemmed in against the boundary line and I'm coming to tackle you, if you handball the ball below my knee and it bounces off my shins and goes out of play, that is last disposal out of bounds, because the same way that if it happened in the goal mouth and came off my shins, it would be a goal.
Yep.
So the same way, that is last disposal. So are we going to start seeing players essentially manipulate that going forward?
Well, I'd like to see that changed.
Okay, the 666 goal square start, so no more. You don't have to stand in the goal square.
Throw it out.
The kick-in is going to match the around-the-grounds 8-second rule.
Not a big deal. Throw it out.
So bringing the ball in after a behind, you'll have 8 seconds to bring it in. They won't wait for ruck nominations. Flesh it out, throw it out.
Flesh it out. I think this is an interesting one because just watching a few of the games, I think there's variance between the different umpires as to whether they wait a little longer or just get the ball up quickly. So I'll have my eye just on the umpires to see how closely they adjudicate that.
If you shrug in a tackle, it is now prior opportunity.
I thought that was already the case, so it should have been the case in my opinion, so throw it out.
And the stand rule, there's no bailout option anymore. So if the player takes the mark and you're the defender and you're inside the 5 metre zone, you must stand.
Flesh it out. You think this is going to be a disaster, don't you?
I think there'll be a few teething issues, particularly for pack marks. So you can imagine, you know, eight players go up, four from either team. Someone takes the mark, and essentially it's up to the defending team to work out who's standing and everybody else can run off. But if everyone runs off and no one stands, 50 metres.
Yeah.
So it's...
That'll be a mess.
That, I think, is going to be the difficult part. I think the one-on-ones is going to be... is actually going to improve the game. I'm a big fan of the stand rule. I know people sort of can't get their head around it. They think it's like netball. He's out of the play. Well, exactly. That's the point. He's out of the play. We want the ball moving. We don't want you as a defender essentially getting back and stopping the ball moving and scoring, which is obviously what we love about the game. Back to our broader list. Tasmania's stadium has been approved.
Throw it out.
Yep. New commission chair, Craig Drummond, seemingly coming in to take over from Richard Goyder.
I'll throw that out as well.
A Lachie Neale off-field scandal. Flesh it out, throw it out.
Flesh it out. This was clearly the biggest off-season story, wasn't it? I think it, as much as anything, what I look at with teams that are verging on dynastic runs is always the Pat Riley NBA theory, the disease of more, which is when, you know, everyone... has sacrificed for the team for a long period of time, and this is very separate to Lachie and whatever happened there, but it does become difficult for everybody to get their lick of the ice cream, and whether that will become an issue for Brisbane in year three of trying to make it a three-peat like they did in the early 2000s.
That's separate, though, to what happened with Lachie Neale, though, isn't it? Like, that's a broader team issue.
What do you want me to say about the Lachie Neale scenario?
The only thing I'd say about it, and I must admit, when I first heard the story, I thought, oh, here we go, you know, salacious gossip, and you learn a little bit more about it, and you think, gee, this is a messy and sad scenario. The one thing that sort of occurred to me the more I learned about it is there's no way he could possibly captain this team. And unfortunately for Lachie, that's how it ended. He basically had to hand in the reins, and I feel for him, and I hope in that sense that... you know, that his private life can stay private as much as possible from here, because it's an upsetting scenario for there's so many parties involved, obviously, that are hurt by everything that has happened. But essentially what you're looking for in a leader of the club, and I know it's unfair as an expectation to put on a sportsman, for example, but you're almost looking for like a mensch. And a mensch is basically like a Yiddish word that doesn't totally translate to English. But you're looking for someone, a person of high integrity that, you know, is a role model and reflects honour and everything else that goes along into it. And so it's hard to have sort of that story going on publicly and then also trying to lead a group of men at the same time. So I wasn't surprised that it ended the way that it did. And hopefully he gets a little bit of clear air to focus on his footy.
And we'll speak to Mark Murphy about this, but it would permeate through the group and would be a distraction, an issue. You know, partners have relationships with one another.
Of course.
So that becomes an issue between players that would be a distraction, I would think, anyway.
Was State of Origin a success?
Flesh it out. You were there. Yes or no?
Best version of what it could have been. Felt like it absolutely hit the nail on the head. There was enough intensity in it. High standard game. Ball zipped around. Yeah, 125, played 101. And I always talk about, Ben, that, you know, the perfect's the enemy of the good. Hmm. That essentially people are always looking for perfect. Was it better than what we had at the moment to start the season? Undoubtedly. It's better than Hawthorn versus the Bulldogs at Dingley or whatever in a scratch match. So what a great launch to the season with a collection of the best players there together. Did you enjoy it?
I did. I watched it while I was on holiday and really liked it. And what I didn't notice was any of the new rules.
Yeah.
So I don't think they can be that offensive, yep. Can they?
You also got the best players out there. Say 50 of the best, you know, 70 players in the game, 80 players in the game, whatever it is. And you got the best four umpires out there.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind when it comes to the new rules as we work our way through them. What should happen next year?
Well, if the WA government are paying for it, WA will be involved, won't they?
I think it should be the same again. Same again. Because you get to test the appetite for it. Yep. So rather than getting South Australia involved, where you think if you're a South Australian footy fan, you haven't seen your team play it in 20-something years, you immediately get to get a pulse check as to whether it was a great one-off or whether it's something that you feel like can repeat by having the same two teams involved. Zach Merritt's trade fails to go through.
Flesh it out. I mean, you're the Essendon person amongst us.
Yeah.
How did you feel about it?
It's exactly what Essendon said was going to happen, and it happened. They said they weren't going to trade him, and they didn't. Essentially, it was incumbent on the Hawks to come up with an offer that was blew them out of the water. And I think what they essentially did, they got a trade together which was about the value of Zach Merritt. That wasn't the point. He had multiple years to run. He was the captain of the footy club. If they wanted to get him out of there, they had to pay overs to make it happen. They didn't, and ultimately he stays.
Yep. I tend to agree. How do you feel about the subsequent contract extension that has arrived? Yeah.
Well, I know he's changed management, so that's probably the one thing that I'd put it down to, is that often, you know, if you've got a... we can ask Murph about this. He's just sat down and walked in. We can check in with him on all of this. But essentially, if you have an existing deal with one management, essentially they get the royalties that go along with that deal. So if you change management and you change your contract, then the new royalties will go to the new management. So I can understand if I'm Zach Merritt's new manager that I'm saying, hey, we need to rework this deal. Otherwise, we're essentially representing a player that we're not getting
nothing.
Slice of the pie that goes along with it.
A few texts rolling in. So someone suggested calling it the centre toss.
Okay.
Which is a little different. The opening throw up from John in Bacchus Marsh. It's easy, guys, which I think John's got his tongue in his cheek there.
So this was raised by the AFL, and they basically said for the other connotations that are to do with throw up, I don't think they necessarily love that.
Michael in Carnegie says, come on, guys, if you can't finish in the top eight after 23 weeks, then you are not good enough. Another tech says, what about feeling sorry for the wife and family? Seriously. I think that goes without saying. I don't know if that was directed at you or me.
Probably me, but I did try and cover off that as much as possible. Yeah. There was no winners in any of that.
Yeah, I think that absolutely goes without saying, So, which is why we didn't say it if we didn't. Dak says, flesh it out. Last touch out of bounds is last touch. Why complicate it? Just more greasy grey.
Okay, what should we call the start of the game? You can tell us on 1-300-222-774. You're listening to AFL Monday with Corbin and Banner. A new show on 774 ABC Melbourne on Monday nights throughout the footy season. David Astle's evening show is coming up at 7:30, and that'll be the case throughout the season. But next, in studio, the Carlton champ, the 300-gamer, Mark Murphy. He'll be in next. This is AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben. Here he is, the man that the coaches voted as the premier player in the game back in 2011. He's the former Carlton captain, the 300-gamer, member of our team for many years now on ABC Sport. Lovely to see you, Murph.
Great to be here, boys. Pleasure to be in the studio. Corbin and Ben, how good?
We've had a photo shoot. We've got a new tile.
Must have missed that.
Cameras are rolling. Man, it's all going on. Well, the good thing is we got plenty of your photos on file. Just publicity pics. You've been getting your photo taken everywhere.
I've just been a bit of the tennis over the period. Great time to be in Melbourne over the summer.
I was going to say, we've got a photo of you in every corporate box at the Australian Open over the 16 days of the tournament.
Well, I've turned into the plus one these days, Benny Cameron.
Yes.
So I did see you getting a nice little photograph from the MCG, the Hello Turf, the other day. Mm. Anyway, we're here, which is good.
Far too close to the green stuff for us, but it's old hat for Mark Murphy being out there on the Hello Turf for the MCG. 1-300-222-774 is the talkback number. Have you enjoyed the off season? You've had 5 months away. You let the feathers grow out. I noticed the hair's a bit longer than we used to.
Just been very busy working, family life. Haven't got a chance to get in and get the hair cut. And
right.
Benny Cameron, who goes in every third or fourth week just to get a nice little touch up. But bit of tennis, bit of cricket. The Ashes were probably a little bit disappointing in terms of the way in which it was over so quickly. But I think 2027, I'm going to get over to England, I think, and watch the Ashes. So it's something I've dedicated myself to a few mates and family members to try and get over there. But yeah, footy's back. It's we're almost there, which is good, which is exciting.
One game we have had of critical meaning is State of Origin. You're obviously a very accomplished player for many years. I imagine you would have been in many Victorian teams had they had games during those times. And I know in 2008 there was a game which you would have been a 30-year player at the time.
I was 30 at the time. Missed out on that, Corbin.
How close were you?
I think I was the second or third emergency.
Oh.
So I missed out on that one, unfortunately. Early days, and I was really keen to play back then, and I know throughout my playing career, if I got that opportunity, I would have loved it. Whether or not you do it every year, or whether it's every second or third year to make it, give that a bit of an exclamation point on the end of it. I think if it's every year, it might just sort of become just another thing. I think whether it's every second or third, I think that might be a better look. But if I'm a South Australian player there, born and bred in SA, you'd be wanting to be part of it because it looked like a great event.
So what would you do next year if the AFL said, hey, what should we do with this Origin fixture?
What do I reckon they'll do?
Yeah.
I reckon they will do, what I would do would be the Vics go and play SA over there, Adelaide Oval, and then I would get the allies of New South Wales, Queensland, Tasmania to go play WA over there. So I have the twilight game being Victoria, SA, leading into the WA versus the allies.
Mm. Mm. The other interesting part of all this, I mean, WA, their government stumped up the cash, obviously, for it, and that's a huge part, obviously, of what happens. And clearly, the AFL are trying to sell major events, and state governments obviously have a lot of money to spend. The Gather Round deal is up at the end of 2027, so they've got one more year to run on that deal. So I wonder what will happen, say, at the end of next year, where, say, they run it back next year, you do WA versus Victoria. By that time, at the end of 2027, the Gather Round deal will be up, whether the WA government can position themselves to go to the AFL and say, hey, why don't you give us sort of one Gather Round, we'll give you Origin, and then that can go to South Australia, and then we'll flip and basically make them alternating years. I feel like, and as a native sandgroper, I feel like I can say this, but I feel like you need Victoria involved. You need them as like as the evil empire, as the bad guys that are involved in the Origin concept. Clearly it comes with 6 million eyeballs and everything else that goes along as the most populous state. So
they're almost like the USA Dream Team when you look.
They
at
are
it,
a bit,
a way,
aren't they?
Because the midfield was just absolutely stacked, and not to downgrade what WA have got amongst them. Obviously, two great WA people that I'm sitting next to, but yes. I reckon the Vic second side could have almost gone toe to toe with the WA team.
Mm. Jeez, that's fighting words.
Lucky it wasn't 10 years ago. I mean, WA 10 years ago had the spine of...
Got to live in the present, Ben.
Alex Rance, we do.
Still is in WA.
Alex Rance, then Jeremy McGovern, Nick Natnui, Aaron Sanderlands, Lance Franklin, Josh Kennedy. Pretty good spine.
Mm. Yeah, not bad.
10 years ago. A few texts rolling in. Call it Normie, as in Norm Goss Toss. Keep it simple, the ball up, which is from Brett. I'm not sure where Brett is, but I don't mind that either, right?
Ball up's good.
I think ball up, countdown to the ball up is probably...
The centre ball up.
Centre ball up.
I think just call it the ball up. I like what Brett's gone with there. George in Brunswick says, nice tee off, gents. How about the start up to replace the bounce? That's from George. But I like the ball up.
Yeah. I was once told that games don't start. They begin. Cars start. So that's take that for what it's worth.
What about the centre ruck?
Yeah. I wouldn't even be against them as almost like a legacy thing, just referring to it as the bounce. Like, would anyone be that bent out of shape?
I don't think anyone cares.
Yeah, if we just said, hey, it's the opening bounce or the centre bounce, or whatever it turned out to be, I think people would still understand essentially what that is and what that means.
Shut down our first topic on AFL Monday, Murph, so that no one cares.
I didn't actually say that. I think Corbin said that, didn't he?
No, I said they wouldn't be. But I don't think people would be that disappointed.
No, I don't think so. I think it could easily stay that way, but the AFL might need an option. Worth mentioning, too, today, some breaking news. As broken by Chanel Vella on Breakfast this morning, McKelty Lefau blowing two times the legal limit over the course of the weekend. So the news has come through late this afternoon that he's been banned for two matches. One of those is a preseason match, so sort of one and a half. But we'll speak to Murph undoubtedly after the 7 o'clock news about what that's like as a leadership group and how that plays out. And also, Corb, we'll launch a new segment, Mad Monday. So if you call up 1-300-222-774, and don't just text, call up 1-300-222-774. Start your sentence with, I'm mad this Monday with or at, about, whatever it is, and fire off.
Our Mad Mondays with Murph. Here we are on the Big Boy channel on 774 ABC Melbourne. We've got heaps of time to chop up everything that's going on in the world of AFL. Of course, we are less than 2 weeks away from the first game. It is opening round, of course, which begins on the Thursday night on March the 5th. And you'll hear it all on ABC Radio, as you have done right throughout the season. The talkback number, Ben, is 1-300-222-774. The big news in the footy world today centres around a Richmond forward who has been sensationally suspended for two games after Charnel Vella broke earlier this morning that he had been caught driving with a blood alcohol limit of 105.
Yeah, more than double the legal limit. So McKelty Lefau banned for 2 games. One of those is a pre-season game, though. So the Traralgon Tiger has texted in. He says McKelty Lefau twice the legal limit on the weekend and misses one home and away game after Richmond Football Club hand down their penalty today. Slapped with a lettuce leaf, Murph. That's a question for you, Mark Murphy, the Carlton 300 gamer and former Blues captain is with us. Do you agree?
It's probably a fair call, the lettuce leaf there. I mean, probably two weeks is fair enough. He cops his right whack from the law, and he'd feel terrible about it. It's a good reminder to everyone in society about the responsibility when you get behind the wheel of a car.
It's about everyone else, isn't it? I heard you say this morning on Raf Corbin. You're a danger to everyone else. It's not so much about you anymore.
No, absolutely not. Mm. You go to jail if you run into someone and kill someone, and that's what you've got to think about. So, you've got to come down hard. Probably a bit light, I would have thought, from the Richmond Football Club.
A little bit of precedence here. Lockie Hunter got 4 games for his indiscretion. There was a bit baked into that, and as well, along with the drink driving episode. Jared Harbrow got 2 matches. Clayton Oliver was in the off season, so he missed no games. He was fined, and Luke Hodge, famously in the 2015 final series, when he was the captain of the football club, wasn't suspended at all. He was fined, and obviously went on to lift the Premiership Cup later that season.
We've been asking tonight as well, what should the opening bounce now be called? So no bounce anymore in the AFL. It will just be a ball up to begin the game. Just the ball up is the winner so far, or just keeping it as the opening bounce. I didn't mind this from Gene, though. What about calling the start of the game Kazali, as in up there? Should I count down to the Kazali? Creative idea.
Gene. Creative.
Don't mind. I still think Murph's centre hoist is probably leading the way.
I reckon we should push hoist.
I think it's a...
we get some traction on the hoist to the lob?
It's a pinned comment for sure. So Mark Murphy, big fan of the centre hoist to get us going. What we're going to do every Monday throughout the footy season, it's a little bit harder maybe to do in the beginning of February, or end of February, for example, when people are happy, weather's good, sun's still out just outside, but it is... as we used to refer to it, our Mad Mondays with Murph. And so basically, given the fact that we have access to Talkback Radio here on ABC Victoria, we want to ask you out there, what are you mad about this Monday? So 1-300-222-774. Feels like every Monday there's something people are grumpy about in the footy world if they feel like their team was on the wrong end of it. So 1-300-222-774. What are you mad about, Ben?
I'm mad this Monday about the length of the AFL season.
Already?
I think it's too long. I think with opening round in recent years, which means we start a week earlier, with the addition of Gather Round, which was an additional week of the season added in, with the pre-finals bye come wildcard weekend, and then all of the finals, it runs 30 weeks. I think it's too much. I think you can have too much of a good thing, and this is proven with, in the 1990s, they were doing blind taste tests of, and I know we don't do brands on the ABC,
but
Pepsi and Coke. I need to use it for this analogy. And Coke got frustrated because people were preferring the sample taste of Pepsi. So they went through millions of dollars changing their recipe to make it sweeter. And what they realized is that people preferred the Pepsi taste test because it was sweeter, but a full can of it was too sweet. It became sickly. It was too much. And they would prefer Coke as a can or a bottle, whatever it was. You can have too much of a good thing is the point of the story. And I think we're just getting towards that tipping point at the moment.
Have you got one for us, Murph?
Look, I'm a very positive individual, Corbin. You know this, Benny knows this, but one thing is completely do outside of sport. When you let someone in on the road and they don't give you the wave. I was driving around the tan. I was watching everyone run around. Everyone's very fit. I let some bloke in, didn't give me the wave. So it was, got me a bit prickly. But I'll come up with something better for you next week. You should have given me actually a bit of a heads up.
You can't have that. 1-300-222-774. Mine's what I'm mad about this Monday. It's injuries in the preseason. Before we've even started, all of a sudden now you're thinking, I can't really tip into that team because Tom Green's going to miss a substantial amount or the whole season, obviously, with an ACL tear. And you think, you've lived at Murph and probably seen guys in the locker room and everything else where you think we haven't even started yet. And we're already talking about guys that are going to miss large chunks of footy. It just you feel like you want to at least get to the start line with everyone available so you can have a look at all the teams before all these injuries occur.
Yeah, that's right. You're talking about the ACLs where players are looking forward, they're fit, pre-season, it's all going very well, and then they're out for the remainder of the year. Although, when you get into the season proper anyway, there's injuries that always occur, but the ones that are shattering are young players who are starting to, or looking like they're going to come on and go, oh, this is going to be their breakout year, and unfortunately it sets them back another 12 months. But then you also get the return of the players who have missed the previous 12 months, and I know one that that a lot of Carlton fans are talking about right now is Jagger Smith, and that was what they were talking about this time last year, weren't they? When he did his knee in his first... almost his first preseason game and missed the whole year. And now the excitement of watching him kick his first goal in a preseason game last week and what he could offer. So that's the opposite side of that.
A bit of news out of Carlton today. So some list spots for Wade Dirksen, who, of course, has spent multiple years at GWS. Felt like his name came up every single trade period for about 5 years in a row. And Elijah Hollands also earned a list spot as well, a SSP selection. He, of course, was a high pick to the Gold Coast, came back to play for Carlton, had a number of off-field indiscretions. I must admit, I love this story. I love that he gets another opportunity at it. And I know there's the other side of the fence, people saying, oh, he's had multiple opportunities and everything else. But I think as long as the person that he's hurting is himself, then I'm not done sort of giving him enough chances. And essentially, I know he's responsible to his teammates and he's got to have to front up for that. And clearly he has. But good on him that he was able to make it through and put in... Yeah, reportedly a full summer of hard work and ultimately earns his spot back on the list. So all the best to Elijah Hollands.
Yeah, that's right. And I think sometimes you're right. People go, oh, he's had too many chances. He did lose his dream of playing AFL football and being delisted off that list and has obviously done a lot of work on himself and trained really well during this preseason and won the trust back of not only his teammates but obviously the heads at the Carlton Football Club. So... yeah, let's hope that he can get a good run at it, do everything right off field and play some good footy for that footy club.
All right. What are you mad about this Monday? 1-300-222-774. Colin from Sunbury. He's the first of our callers. Hello, Colin.
Hello there.
What have you got for us, Colin?
Well, I'm still angry from last year about no free-to-air Saturday TV. Goodness sakes.
And that's...
Is money God in this country?
Mm. Well, there's good news though, Colin. I mean, it's just a whisper, but you might be able to watch VFL football on free-to-air TV on the ABC in 2026.
Really?
Mm. It's the whisper doing the rounds.
There you go.
Thanks very much. That's very pleasing to hear.
Colin, can I just get you to say this Monday I'm mad about?
This Monday, I'm mad about no free-to-air TV on Saturday night.
That's the spirit. Good on you, Colin.
There we go. You can hear all the games, as always, obviously, through the ABC Listen right throughout the footy season. Murph will be there for a whole lot of them and Thursday nights, as he has been throughout. And just to balance up that side of the conversation, obviously, Fox Sports, they put in... a heap of money into the game. They actually contribute more than just about anyone else other than the federal governments, basically, the money that gets put into sport every year. That money then goes in to not just pay the players but fund multiple programs, whether it's AusKick or AFLW or whatever it turns out to be. So it's a huge amount of money in the game. There's a little bit of give and take. Essentially, Seven have taken Thursday nights, Friday nights and Sundays, leave Saturday to the pay TV broadcaster, and that's basically how it plays out. You can take all that, by the way, with an absolute grain of salt, knowing that, again, for the issue of full transparency, I also do some work over at Fox Sports. Frank from Caulfield is the next of our callers. Hello, Frank.
Yeah, g'day. Another suggestion for the bounce, the airborne.
Ooh, the airborne.
The airborne.
I don't mind it. I don't think it'll get up, Frank, but I don't mind it as a creative idea.
Thank you.
If someone said to you, Frank, you could either vote for airborne or centre hoist, which one would you vote for?
Airborne.
Oh,
God. Diane in East Brunswick says, when in doubt, ask AI. It favours replacing the centre bounce with the launch. Also suggests the ball up, the rise, the lift off, the contest, the opening up, the first up, the centre start. So as long as it's not a balls up, we should be good.
Yeah. We also, I think, at different times went to AI to try and find a name for this program. And after all that, we settled on AFL Monday. So there's sometimes you can spin your wheels a little bit there.
That might be Sam Mitchell's burner as well, just with recent reports about his use of AI in the coaching game.
Yeah, he said he's a big fan of all of that. Murph, we're chatting off the top of the show, Lachie Neale, and obviously the salacious story that happened over the off-season. He's a friend of yours, obviously, so but we'll sort of keep the personal side of it to one side. But how does that sort of thing play at a footy club? So, and I imagine you've lived through it at various times, whether it's off-field rumours or whatever happens. Yeah, does it get joked about amongst the group? Does no one say anything? Do you need to call everyone together like a school assembly and essentially say, "Hey guys, cards on the table. This is what's going on. Can we all move on now?" Like, how would you handle it?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You could do all of that. I think the best thing that you could do is get everyone in and discuss what's occurred and what is going to occur going forward. I think the Brisbane Lions Football Club handled it really well, as well as Lachie, in terms of coming out and speaking and saying that he was going to relinquish the captaincy. I think that was the obvious and smart call to do, and they did that pretty quickly. Unfortunately, for that period of time, there was not a lot of other news going on, was there? It was over the Christmas period and New Year's period when everyone's gathering and talking in clubs and bars and around the Christmas dinner table. So it was a talking point for everyone, wasn't it, really, at that point? So I think that football club and Lachie couldn't have waited for football to come along any sooner, could they?
Yeah.
And I thought they handled it well at the time. As you said before, there's no winners in all of that. But I think you just got to be careful that the partners don't all talk and talk behind closed doors. They all come out and be front with what they're feeling and thinking and move forward together as a group, because they had an issue 12 or 18 months ago, didn't they?
Yeah,
where they were overseas and a trip happened and they were able to fight their way through from starting off really slowly in that year. So I think it's been put to bed pretty quickly by the Brisbane Lions Footy Club and I think the start of the season. The one thing that'll be interesting to see is whether or not Lachie will get booed when he first gets a touch of the football. But I think everyone will be quick to move on and football will come out on top.
I think, footy clubs move on so quickly, don't they? I mean, completely different set of circumstances, but even the Zach Merritt situation, for example, it's, I'm sure it'll be very interesting in round one. They play Hawthorn and everything else, but you see him training on the track, interacting with his teammates. Like, it's amazing how quick that football clubs have a way of going, right, on we go sort of together.
Yeah, and I think Essendon handled that really well after that. They said, well, we came out and said what we were going to do. We wanted to hold him to his contract. They did that. And everyone moves on in football. There's always going to be another storyline that'll appear. There'll be something else that'll happen. So as long as you actually come out on the front foot, address it, and then it's done. And the talking points they'll peter on for a little bit, but I think now that the football's starting to get into it, we'll sort of all move on.
What are you mad about this Monday? Our Mad Mondays with Murph, the Carlton champion Mark Murphy with us in studio. This is AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben on ABC Victoria. Great to have you with us. If you want to listen live every week, you can find it, of course, through ABC Listen or right here on your radio from 6:30 Australian Eastern Daylight Time throughout the footy season. And, of course, you can catch up anytime through ABC Listen. So we're also in the ABC AFL Daily little podcast folder. So that's up and firing. And we'll also have a season preview coming soon, Ben, throughout the week. So good chance to fire that back up once again.
David is texting. He says, if the players have to wear sunscreen, we're probably starting the season too early, which I don't disagree with. I've had to take some editorial license with this text, but I am mad this Monday with the KO price hike. It actually says, while you're at it, Colin, I'm mad about the KO price hike, but a little bit of artistic license with that text. Mad on Monday. Been waiting to bring the grandchildren to the football, but they are all under 10, and Collingwood has only 3 matches in an appropriate afternoon spot, 2 of which are Anzac Day and the Big Freeze match. Both fully ticketed and hard to get a seat for 8 people together in the general membership fight. Ticket sales. So Thursday matches are a pain on a work night. Totally about the money.
His memberships, yeah.
He's spot on, though, in terms of, like, if you've got young children trying to find the appropriate time. But at the same time, too, they're a blockbuster club who are expected to go well this year.
Yeah.
So you sort of fall foul of the fact that they're a big club that's going to, a lot of viewers want to watch them on TV in the primetime slot. But having young children wanting to go watch their team, it's a difficult one.
So it is something that they have to be conscious of, the AFL, because as much as Seven will argue, or the AFL will argue, there's as many games on free-to-air TV as there's ever been, which there is, with the Thursday night, the Friday night, and then the Sunday. Cricket in the UK had an instance where they put cricket behind a paywall largely, and kids couldn't pick Alistair Cook, their test captain, out of a lineup. So, you know, if kids go to bed early on a Thursday and a Friday night and the game starts at, you know, virtually 8 o'clock...
You can DVR it.
How much of it they get to see, there might be one game of the week of AFL football that they can watch really on television.
Which is what, the Sunday game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is that enough? Is that enough to breed the next generation of fan? I don't know.
Yep. 1-300-222-774. What are you mad about this Monday? AFL Monday with Corbin and Ben and the Carlton champion Mark Murphy in studio. Wayne is the next of our callers. Hello, Wayne.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I woke up fresh this morning and I was listening to the radio. Then Bob Murphy played this thing that made me so mad. It made me so mad in a, like a stupefied, what the kind of way, you know? And it's Bevo's song. God, Struth. It's awful.
Bevo's song. Oh. This is the first time I'm actually hearing this. So here it is. Dogs on a mission.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Not a fan either, Murph.
No, but what I did love, though, was Wayne using the word Struth. I haven't heard Struth for I don't know how long.
Well, I reckon, am I still on air?
Yeah, still here. Yeah,
I reckon they would have been better off putting new words to Kumbaya.
Not happy with it, Wayne.
Struth, mate. Fair income.
I love it. That's a great call. Good nomination.
He is the best coach at using storytelling to motivate his team. He did it famously in the 2016 grand final.
Yep.
He described them as a band and said, you know, Murph, you're the guitars. Corbin, you're the drummer. You know, whoever else is the lead singer. And if you all bring your instrument, we'll create some beautiful music and win the flag today. So
storytelling.
This is what he does. So he's gone to music again.
There's been a few chapters when it comes musically in the AFL across the years, and not too many of them are fondly looked back upon. Usually they come up as sort of skits on television shows or radio programs or whatever it turns out to be. Muzz from Burwood's the next of our callers. What are you mad about this Monday, Muzz?
I'm mad about the Richmond Football Club and their lack of discipline going right through this club.
Yeah.
In the last year or so, and maybe even longer, they've had a lot of problems with discipline on and off the field, especially Bolto last year, who nearly killed somebody with what he did. Prestia has got himself into some type of trouble that will be sorted out by the courts. And now today, LaFalle has, you know, he's been caught drink driving, and this lack of discipline seems to be going... When you got lack of discipline off the field, it's got to spread onto the field. So I think these coaches and this club administration are being way too soft on these players, and it just seems like they're getting away with it.
Ooh. Good on you, Mars. Appreciate your call.
That's fair. It's a fair call because the Richmond Football Club, a lot of young talent there, don't they? So you need your senior players or your players who have been around for a long period of time to be really upstanding citizens and really professional in the way in which they go about it. So he's named a few indiscretions there. So you need to make sure that you're setting the right example for those younger players.
Do you agree with that basic premise that the off-field ill-discipline and on-field ill-discipline are intrinsically linked?
Well, I think most of the premiership teams have knocked that on the head and got really good players who are good citizens off the field.
Yeah.
So I think there's certainly a correlation.
It's a new administration largely too, isn't it? When you think about Shane Dunne, who's, from my limited dealings with him, I actually think he's quite impressive the way he speaks. I think he certainly handles himself well with us in the press. But he's a new CEO. He's only been in the job for just over a year. And then you've got Adam Uze, obviously, as the senior coach who's, two seasons in, about to start his third season. And that would be a difficult job, I'm sure, trying to manage that kind of football club. You're coming off a dynasty. They got an unprecedented number of high picks in and young players. So you've got the old guys where you don't want to sort of tell them how to suck eggs, given they've sort of climbed the mountain and been there and done it in the past, and while also trying to set an example and crack down and set a hard line for the guys that are just in the door as to what an AFL system looks like. Andrew is the next of our callers on 1300 222 774. Hello, Andrew.
Good evening.
What have you got for us?
Well, I had two things. I think one of them has been addressed. The gather round makes me angry.
Ooh.
2 years ago, I went to the gather round. I had an absolutely fantastic time. Carlton won. I went with Carlton Corporate. It cost an absolute motzer, but that's the whole point. Only people who have money can go to it, and the Adelaide grounds don't hold a high capacity, so most of your AFL public are cut out from it. So if you have a family and you want to go see the AFL on that weekend, you got no hope.
Mm. Yeah, I understand, Andrew. I totally agree. I think it's of critical importance that we keep the game affordable and available to the masses if we want it to be the game that we grew up with and we all love. So it's a good point. Though, Andrew, if I can just critique you, I don't think people quite yet, Corb, have nailed the I'm mad this Monday with.
That might take a few weeks.
Yeah, but we'll get there.
We're only one show in, but we'll see how we go as we work our way through. It was Captain's Day today, Murph, at Dockland Stadium, so we thought of you as the times that you went along and did it. I spoke to your namesake, Bob Murphy, earlier today. I said, how'd you find Captain's Day? He said, I loved the first one. He said, then all of a sudden it was the same thing over and over again. What was it? What was it like as you fronted up and got asked the same questions from every media outlet?
Yeah, not the same as Bob. I didn't really love the first one because I was almost a little bit starstruck with some of the higher echelon sort of captains in the game. We've been there for a long period of time, and when you first get there, you sort of sit there, especially when you're sitting with the AFL Commission, you talk about the rules of the game, things that are really pressing issues. The one thing I used to hate was all the photos and all that sort of stuff, but getting actually there to mix with the other captains and pick their brains about what they're doing and just have a chat about football in general, it turned out to be a really good time in the end. But the first one, I was a little bit gun-shy and then really enjoyed it from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, interesting. What's one thing we wouldn't know about Captain's Day?
Don't know. All the media are there, aren't they? So you probably know
it's
everything.
Not much,
but
it's
probably interesting.
Do you spend much time with the other captains, like behind this, like other than, or you're just all there for the photo and then basically disperse? Like, is there?
Well, doing various photos and media grabs, and there's heaps of downtime. So you're standing around having a chat to a lot of captains there about, you know, what their pre-seasons look like and who's going well and some issues that are happening in the game and where they think the game should be going to.
I like it. Murph, thanks for coming in. We'll do it again next week and the week after that and the week after that every Monday throughout the footy season. Appreciate your insights as always.
Been a pleasure, boys.
Great to have you with us on ABC AFL Daily for a new season. Keep it locked right here. Coming up over the next 4 days and right throughout the season, we'll have all your AFL content, but in particular, a preview this week of the 18 clubs in the competition. What Ben and I think about their fortunes in season 2026. Who's going up and who's going down? Now a 10-team final system with the wild card introduced. So keep it locked right here on ABC AFL Daily.